Blog Talk Radio.
Oi! Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied by...
Dave Benkin from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and along with...
Oh, how do you do? This is EW tagging along for the ride.
And...
Really right it'll be.
It is I, the tiny dancer!
Blah, blah, it is I, God's a ghoul.
Or the music box dancer, as it were. Little snippet of an old 70s tune by Frank Mills.
Yes.
We're continuing with music box tales, only we got one of them. But a damn good one from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes. May want to turn your lights down for this one, because then you won't sleep the rest of the night.
Let E.G. Marshall haunt your dream.
What are we going to do? Put up a picture of my face? That'll keep people up at night. It'll sound like a screaming goat. Yes, that's exactly what it would sound like. But it's a good one. It's an E.G. Marshall, isn't it? Is it not?
It is E.G. Marshall, yes. Yeah. Early, this is one of the earlier episodes. It seems odd, being episode number 338, that it's early in this run. But again, that takes us to 1975, and it just started in 74. So, wow, lots and lots of episodes to go yet. So,
well, there were what, almost a couple thousand, no?
There were, I think, almost just shy of 1,500.
That's still a hell of a lot.
That's a heck of a lot. Yes, there were. Yeah. And yeah, everything was repeated at least once. Some special ones got repeated more than once. So, but you know, you couldn't make one of these every day for 9 years. Come on. Yeah.
But they did. And we got one of them.
We do have, yes. And of all the Radio Mystery Theaters, this is another one, yes.
Yes.
19.
Gar's getting ready for his show right after our program, The Horrible Horror, starring Gar the Ghoul. And his dog.
Did anyone here ever have a music box?
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Did you?
Does a Jack in the Box count?
Yeah, that would be the closest I had, but...
No, I had both. I had a Jack in the Box and a regular music box. I take it you both are, all of you are deprived as well as depraved, but not I. Well, at least not the deprived part, but depraved, maybe. I digress. Now,
I remember the music box, if you flipped it open, and there was a ballerina on a spring. So she would bend over when it closed, then you open it up. And
you had one of those? Did you have
around.
One of those, Gar?
Yeah, I had
one
six
of those, Gar.
Yeah.
Six of them.
Yeah. I painted a bozo face on them, and, you know, it was great.
And googly eyes.
Jack in the Box?
And googly eyes.
That was your Jack in the Box?
And googly eyes, that's right.
Don't forget the damn googly eyes.
That's right. There's nothing scarier than seeing a miniature ballerina bozo.
With googly eyes.
With googly eyes.
The reason I got one is because my mother didn't want me going into her jewelry box anymore, so she gave me one, bought me some junk jewelry, and said, stay out of my stuff. Later on, I told her to stay out of my stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing how the things in those boxes change over the years. Yeah.
I've given away a few music boxes, but I've never had one myself outside of a Jack in the Box, yeah.
I had both.
Yep.
And,
do you still have your music box there, CW?
Sadly, no. It went by the wayside. I got bored with it. Now, I went on to better things, you know. I purchased a phaser instead. And
a phaser.
Lightsaber. Lightsaber. You know.
You were one of the cool girls. You had to have been one of the cool girls.
Yes, I got the important accessories, you know, never go anywhere without your communicator and everything.
I mean, when I was young, very young, and first getting into, like, going to trade shows and comic book conventions and what have you, that you couldn't find a girl who would be interested in this stuff. I am, like, so jealous of this generation, you know what I mean, to find someone with similar likes and things like that. There's a lot more cool girls than there used to be.
Back in the day, there weren't too many gals at the comic book store. That's right.
No.
We were, I'm not quite your generation yet, but I can tell you that they were always there. I mean, if you look at someone, go online and check out Forrest J. Ackerman when he was going to the early conventions.
I never thought in Ohio, you know.
Oh, in Ohio, well, I don't know about Ohio.
We got trees.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're a little behind the times here.
They were probably
We're still celebrating a guy who went off the air 50 years ago. So, you know, what do we know in Ohio?
Yep.
There were probably a lot of girls who went into the bookstores. And, you know, they were going by the Vogue magazines and drifted towards the comic books before their mothers told them, no, you don't want anything to do with that. That sort of business before they got old enough to get them and buy them on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't want to be mixing elbows with those rabble rousing comic book people.
Yeah.
Yeah, lowbrows. Oh my.
Thugs, punks, and ne'er do wells.
Quite so. Of course. Then you had Wonder Woman, and with all due respect to, let's forget her origins, she started gravitating more female towards comic books.
Yep.
Wasn't she on the first cover of Ms. Magazine?
She was the first comic book character on Ms. She was on the cover because of...
I think she was on number one.
Was she on number one? I don't know. I do know that Gloria Steinem didn't like the way they modernized her. They put her in trousers and took away her battle armor. And, you know, didn't like that.
Had her in a white pantsuit for a while, I recall.
Yeah. Because even though that skirt was ridiculously short, it was still full battle armor, you know, versus... Sears trousers or whatever. Sears or Kmart trousers.
Yeah. According to
she was wearing granimals.
The Sony website, it was the number one volume one of Ms. Magazine. And it shows it right there. There is Wonder Woman for President.
Yep. Artist Fortnite drew the cover.
Did he really? Wow, that guy had no end to his talent.
I mean, forget Tesla, you know, this Ernest Borgnine,
Well,
I'm trying to bring Ernest Borgnine's talent to light whenever I can. What's going on here?
And by gosh, we appreciate it.
I know.
We ought to get going with some CBS Radio Mystery Theater. This one is entitled The Special Undertaking.
It has an air date in the other room. Here I am. And it's September 4th, 1975.
There you go.
And it's show number?
338.
Next on KIXI, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Tonight, The Special Undertaking. Here is your host, E.G. Marshall.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I don't know about you, but to me, the tinkling sound of a music box has always charmed and soothed me, conjuring up pleasant memories and the balm of sweet nostalgia. It still does, in spite of this story. But if it sends a chill through you, don't, please, blame it on music boxes in general. Just on this one and its haunting tune that struck a chord from the past that stirred up something infinitely more gruesome and deadly than nostalgia.
Oh, Susanna, we're so lucky. This wonderful house. The future is a dream almost come true already. Do you like your birthday present?
I love this music box. I love you, Hank. Everything you do for me. Until I found the past coming up to haunt me.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's just the music box. As soon as it started to play, my eyes were drawn away down to the end of the garden path, to the summer house, and to the girl in the crinoline dress who's dancing there.
What girl? I can't see anyone.
I was afraid you might say that. Somehow I know she isn't really there. She has to be a ghost. But why would she want to haunt me?
Our mystery drama, The Special Undertaking, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Jada Rowland and Don Scardino. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick. All your life, you've been denied the things you want, haven't you?
Dad, can I have that mountain?
No.
Sandra Sue, can I have a kiss?
No.
A handshake?
No.
Pet your dog?
I think not.
Sergeant, may I have a weekend pass instead of marching through the swamp with the rest of the fellows?
But you're your own person now, aren't you? And you want to make up for all those good times you've been denied, don't you? So now, if you want something, you ought to darn well be able to have it. Yes? Even a Skyhawk, Buick's sporty personal little road car that comes with a famous Buick V6. A car with flair, spirit, a car to make up for all the Christmases you wanted sleds but got socks. So if you want to buy a Skyhawk, by golly, you go right down and ask your Buick dealer. He won't tell you no.
It's mine to keep? Gee.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
I was reminded of this story a week or so ago when I picked up the morning paper and read that a small town was advertising for a doctor and willing to finance him and as many partners as he could attract in setting up a clinic. In outlying areas, medical men, general practitioners, are always in demand today. How much more so in the last century? Which is how the newly married Dr. Henry Fleming and his bride Susanna came to Huntington House some 100 years ago via the new Union Pacific Railroad, which had finally linked the East with the West.
Do I have the honor of addressing Mrs. Fleming?
Yes, sir.
I'm Buford Hughes. Allow me to assist you. Ezra, get the lady's carpet bag.
Yes, sir. I'll relieve you of that bag, ma'am.
Why, thank you.
That's Mr. Ezra Whitfield, Beaver City's most prominent lawyer, in more ways than one. They say success goes to a man's head. In Ezra's case, it went to his waistline. There we are, ma'am. And you'd be our new doctor, sir.
Brand spanking new, sir. Just graduated out of medical school.
Ah, but from Harvard.
Hank, what about our baggage?
Oh, don't you worry, Mrs. Fleming.
Well, I'd like to check and make sure our trunks are there.
Ah, ma'am, I think it's more appropriate for Ezra to help you in that area while I make your husband as welcome as I can.
Why, sure, Mrs. Fleming. I can see your trunks are all off. Just go check them over.
Okay, honey?
This is my job.
A fine young woman, sir. Eminently equipped to be a doctor's wife.
Or anyone's. Susanna is one of a kind.
Mm-hmm. I support your opinion. Just as soon as the missus had checked out your belongings, I have a wagon waiting They take them to your house. I also have a rig so that we can stop by the bank and sign our agreements.
I think Susanna is a bit worn out. Could we perhaps get settled first and then the papers?
My dear boy, I'm sorry. I should say doctor, forgive me.
It's all right. I'm young, but I have knowledge. Don't worry.
Oh, I have no worries about your abilities after our long correspondence. And I don't want to lose you. You are needed here. We'll all just try to put out and make you feel at home right here. Well, now, sir, there she is, Huntington House.
Oh, Hank, right on the ridge. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, it surely is.
The house certainly is big enough.
Well, we're only going to be using a corner of it. The rest is for a clinic, as we planned.
I hope we can get some other doctors to fill it up.
You leave that to me, ma'am. Beaver City's made me a very rich man. I want to plow some of my good luck back into it. And that's why I advertised in the East to get a doctor out here.
I'll try not to make you sorry for your generosity in any way.
Oh, easy now. Right before your front door.
Oh, Hank, I'm scared. It looks so big.
Sure, honey. That's the point. It's the beginning of a hospital that someday the whole West is going to talk about. The whole country. What are you mumbling about, darling?
Oh, nothing, Hank. I'll tell you later. Let's go have a look at our new home.
I calculate with you tired and all after your journey, I should have taken you straight into the house. But with the light going, I wanted to see a little of the grounds.
It's amazing. I can't believe the house has been empty all that time.
After 15 years, I expected a jungle.
No, there's been a housekeeper here all these years. Mrs. Bunter. And for years, her son kept the outside of the place.
Oh, Hank. Look at that little summer house down at the end of the path. Isn't it lovely?
Oh, it sure is, Susanna.
I want to go there right now.
It's almost sundown. I'd let it wait if I were you, Mrs. Fleming.
Why?
Why, because it ain't going to go away. And I can smell that Mrs. Bunter has supper about ready. I'm sure you must be hungry after the long trip.
I know I am. Hungry as a bear. Come on, honey. It can't be all that important.
No, of course not. Just a silly whim, but funny how it draws me. As though someone was begging me to meet them there.
And so there is. Me, but by moonlight. It's a perfect place for young lovers, wouldn't you say, Mr. Hughes?
I reckon that depends on the point of view. Well, shall we travel on in and say howdy to Ellen Bunter?
By all means.
Don't forget to come back.
Susanna, are you coming?
Yes. Yes, Hank. Just stay close to me. Don't leave me alone.
What pretty clothes you have, Mrs. Fleming. Boston must be Christ City.
Why, yes, Mrs. Bunter. It is. It's a beautiful town.
I'm surprised you ever come away from there out here to the west. If I was you, I'd pick up the skirts and get right back there.
Why? Whatever do you mean?
Oh, there's things best not talked about. I'm just saying what I think has to be said.
You sound as if you don't want us here.
There's a black shadow lays over this house, Mrs. Fleming. And I don't want nobody else should lose the light under it. Special ways, no two nice young'uns like you. But please, don't say nothing to Mr. Buford about what I said. Wouldn't want to lose my job.
Well, we can hardly just leave it at that. I'd like to know what you mean.
I promise to tell you as soon as I can. But right now, got to go get supper on the table.
I can't get over that cellar. Why, it's almost set up for a clinic already. But Mr. Huntington wasn't a doctor.
No, son. He sure wasn't that.
Well, what did he do?
Well, he mostly made money. Yes, sir. He looked to be about the richest man in this part of the country once. He used to raise cattle. Then he found a gold mine right here on his own property. Over the other side of the ridge over there.
Hmm. Is it still active?
No. Vein ran out 20 years ago. But not before he piled up a bundle. I should know. I was his banker. Ah, yes. Carson Huntington retired before he was 40.
What did he do with himself then?
Well, mainly he devoted himself to being a father. But he liked hunting real good. And you've only got to take a look around the walls to see where that led him to.
You mean all the stuffed heads?
Mm.
Moose, buffalo, deer that are all over the place? He liked to collect them?
More than that. He stuffed them all himself. Built himself all those tile rooms downstairs and worked just like a doctor in a white coat and all.
Ah, a taxidermist, eh?
More than that. You know how one thing leads to another, and, well, here comes your lady. I must leave you to your supper.
I was just going to ask you if you would join us. Mrs. Bunter tells me there's enough for you, and Mr. Whitfield, too.
If you cook like that every night, Mrs. Bunter, I may just abandon my wife.
Oh, thank you, sir. But I'm sure she's a mighty fine cook herself.
Oh, matter of fact, you wouldn't think of it to look at her, but she is. And a housekeeper.
Sure is good to see love lighting up this gloomy old place again. Just like the good old days, Buford.
Yes, Ezra, but let's not go digging into the past. These two young folk represent the future. They're not interested in what's been.
Oh, but we are. At least I am.
Oh, so am I.
I'll just take the tray out to the kitchen. I'll bring the coffee in soon.
Poor Ellen. No wonder she doesn't want to listen to...
Ezra, you talk too much.
What'd I say?
Nothing much so far. But usually too much. I reckon I have to tell you a little about the house. But it's better for you to get it from me than from some old windbag like Ezra.
Tarnation, Buford. That's no way to talk.
I tell you what it is, Mrs. Fleming. A house stays empty like this one did for over 15 years. And people start to build legends. Even a dried-up old lawyer like Ezra here. Now, I'm a banker, businessman. I give you the plain facts.
We'd appreciate that, sir.
I'd like to hear the legends.
Well, let's start with the facts. It's about 60 years back that Carson married Sarah.
62, almost to the day.
Well, you're old enough to remember exactly. It was before my time.
I'd just opened my office, and Carson Huntington was one of my first clients. His folks had left him quite a spread, and he sold off enough cattle to build this big mansion for Sarah. Oh, she was a beauty, all right, and well fixed herself. That was some wedding.
No, we don't have to go into every detail.
I only mention it because they were so happy, those two. Just like these young'uns. And how could they have known the tragedy that was to be the most part of their lives?
Tragedy?
I suppose 20 years longing for a child and never being able to produce one isn't tragedy enough. I suppose when Rachel did come to him, her being born premature and blind and mute wasn't tragedy. I suppose Rachel's death...
That's enough, Ezra.
No, please. We'd like to know.
No, what Ezra says was true. Sarah did have a baby, too late in life. A little wisp of a girl who was blind and mute. They doted on her, devoted 16 years of their lives to bringing her up, pampered and coddled her like she was made of china. They were recluses here and saw few people. When Rachel was 16, she fell in love.
With Ellen Bunter's son, Elisha, lost at Chickamauga in the war between the states, rest his soul.
The Lord rot it, you mean? He was in his 20s, and he just took advantage of the poor little thing. And naturally, it was an unsuitable match from any point of view. So the boy was fired by Carson and ran off to join the army. Rachel took it real hard, thinking he'd run off on her because of her deficiencies. And went into a decline and died from a kind of colic.
Broken heart, more likely.
If any hearts were broken, it was Sarah and Carlson's. And after the burial, they hold themselves away here at Huntington House. And no one saw hide nor hair of them for a year. And then one day, suddenly, unexpectedly, they both died.
Like a bolt from the blue.
He means that quite literally. They were on their way to church on the anniversary of Rachel's death and pulled under a tree to escape a sudden thunderstorm. And the tree was struck by lightning, and both of them were killed.
How awful.
Yes. There were no relatives.
And the will specified that the house was to be kept and maintained in perpetuum.
Yes. Now, I think Ezra and I should mosey along and let you settle in.
Good night, Mr. Hughes.
Mr. Whitfield, and drive carefully. Ooh, come on. Bedtime.
Oh, look at the moon. Isn't it lovely?
Not when I'm so tired. I can't even open my eyes to see it.
You're not that tired. Maybe you had too much wine. Let's walk down to that little summer house.
Oh, come on. Have a heart, honey.
Susanna, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me.
What do you expect to find there?
I don't know.
Well, you're not going to find out tonight. Come on. I'm taking you up to bed.
Yes, darling. Oh, take me to bed and warm me and hold me. And never, never let me go.
Susanna finally fell asleep, shutting her ears against that still, small voice in her head. Tomorrow she will talk to Hank about it. And about Huntington House. Outdoors, the moon is at its zenith. Does something move strangely in the shadows? And if you strain your ears, can you hear the sound of a music box? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Maternity shop.
A 12th floor. Watch the door. Are you pregnant?
Yes. Are you sure you're a recording?
I am a recording. Have you seen a doctor?
Yes. At the beginning of my pregnancy, and I'll see him often during it.
Do you plan to follow his advice?
Of course. I'm not going to take any medicine unless he prescribes it. I'll get plenty of rest and do some moderate exercise.
And what about your diet?
I'll eat the right foods. Foods that are good for me and good for my baby.
12th floor, maternity.
Thanks. A recording. I'm talking to a recording.
Remember what the March of Dimes says. Be good to your baby before it is born.
Whoa, hey. I got stunned there for a moment. That was the music as E.G. Marshall was tailing out was the same exact music that was used in the background of Vampira's, those few surviving Vampira skits.
Ah.
Wow. That's interesting.
That eerie little, I was listening to it, and I'm like, I know where that music's from. Sure enough.
They mentioned taxidermy. I was reminded of an Alan Alda biography in which his father got their dog stuffed after it passed. And he said the dog's eyes, whoever the taxidermist was, put this deranged expression on this stuffed dog.
Oh, God.
And every time they walked next to her or something, they were just like more creeped out than comforted by having their owl still there.
Yeah.
True story.
It's as bad as when Roy Rogers had Trigger stuffed. Ew.
Yeah. I did a bit about that for one of our anniversary shows, and it was with the oldest living couple in America, and he was kind of a bull call-off type, and says when they finally figured out that she wasn't still alive, he says, yes, I couldn't be bad to be without her for all these years. So I had her stuffed just like Roy Rogers had Trigger stuffed and then Dale Evans had Roy stuffed, you know, so.
Well,
taxidermy is cheaper than embalming, right? Isn't it?
Probably what's cheaper is cremation. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
taxidermy,
How much does a book of matches cost, you know? I mean, come on.
That's what I'm saying. I always said, you know, a tank of gas and a pack of matches. I'm done.
Yeah, a little lighter fluid.
Finish me
know,
off. Yeah. Oh, you want to be fancy?
Saying,
put me on a raft and kick me down the Cuyahoga River.
Well, there you go. It'll burn
Carlin,
on the phone.
George Carlin said he wanted to get blown up. There he goes.
If you ever go to Disney World or Disneyland and you see them sweeping up lots of dust, it's because it's quite not uncommon for people to scatter the cremated remains of loved ones who like being there. Yeah. 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 It's true. That's
how
not
romantic.
A good
point. How romantic.
Well, he finally made it to Disney World, right?
Ah, Dave, you're the best.
It was his last wish, and that was his last act. Yeah.
There you go. Where are you going after you die? I'm going to Disneyland. Hmm.
Should get it at least for half price.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a darker story, Dave, than the three we had last night.
Yeah, and kicked right off, right into it, right? Almost when they, as soon as they got to the house, it already started. So.
Yeah, they jumped right in with both feet, and I guess we can do the same as we return to part two of the special undertaking.
It's just before dawn, with the moon sloping down the sky, the last of the full moon. In the strange new bed in Huntington House, Dr. Henry Fleming lies sleeping gently. Beside him, Susanna stirs with little whimpers as that importunate voice penetrates her sleep.
Dream. It's just... Oh, I don't like it here.
What do you mean, sweetie?
There's something wrong. It isn't a happy house the way you and I want.
Well, you mean you want to... leave?
You know we can't do that. You've tied up your whole future here.
I've tied up my whole future with you. That comes first. But why? What is it don't you like here? All the sad history which is buried in the past, as Mr. Hughes said?
It isn't buried in the past, no matter what he says.
What does that mean?
Since the first moment I got here last night, there's a voice.
Voice?
A young girl's voice that calls to me, speaks to me.
Just to you alone?
I guess, if you haven't heard it.
Well, so that's why you've been so funny a couple of times. Well, what does this voice say?
Nothing, really. Just calling me to help and to come to her.
Susie.
Oh, I always mistrust your motives when you call me that.
Well, don't this time. I just wanted to say we were both dead tired after a 10-day journey across the country. Nothing about last night was wholly real. Our life in the West starts as of this morning. Now, let's give it a day or two so we can really judge it. Then if it's wrong or your voices still speak to you, I promise we'll face up to it.
You don't believe me. And perhaps you're right. This morning it was so faint, I could scarcely hear it. All right, Hank, darling. Let's forget about me and concentrate on your life. Oh, Ellen. I mean, Mrs. Bunter.
An apron full of fresh eggs?
Every morning, ma'am, if you want them. We have a power of layers.
Can I help fix breakfast?
Oh, a lady like you has no place in the kitchen.
I want to be here. And do I have to call you Mrs. Bunter? Couldn't it be just Ellen and Susanna or Susan or whatever you want to call me?
You're a sweet child. And it's good to see a bright, fresh face here. But is it wise for us to be that close?
Well, I don't care if it's wise. I need a friend. And someone to answer some of my questions.
All right, little one. You have a friend.
I'm so glad. Yesterday, I thought you would have done anything to get me out of here.
I should be ashamed, I suppose. This house has been my life, but for all the tragedy, it has treated me well enough.
Then why do you resent my coming here?
It isn't you, dear heart. It's only that I thought the past was buried. Why don't you accept your good fortune as it is and leave the ghost of yesterday buried and forgotten?
I will, if they leave me alone.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's two of us. Yesterday, when there was time, you said you would explain about the black shadows that lie over this house.
It isn't the time yet. Certain people would be judged wrong.
Rachel Huntington, for example?
What do you know of her?
Only that she died mysteriously. And that she loved your son.
My son. My son that was. A fine, true boy then, until he was cast out.
What happened?
I neither excuse him or blame him. They might have found a life together. Instead, my Elisha was thrown out, sent to be cannon fodder. Because two children in love had committed the oldest sin in the world. A sin that wedlock would have wiped out.
I didn't realize that. You mean that Rachel...
I didn't know it myself. Till after Elisha had been sent away. For sure. Till after her death when I talked to Mrs. Huntington.
Will you tell me what you were hinting at last night?
I think you ought to go from here. Now. While the going's good.
It's funny. I get a feeling you're thinking less of me than you are of yourself. Maybe you're the one who should leave.
Oh, no, please. Please don't send me away. I promise. If you promise to let me stay, I won't open my mouth again.
It's just so strange about Mrs. Bunter, Hank. I mean, you know I'm sensitive to people.
Don't I just, my little witch, or medium, or whatever you are?
No. Don't talk about me like that.
Darling, I didn't mean anything. It's just that you are psychic, clairvoyant. You have some kind of perception that's extra, more than other people's.
You do believe that, don't you? Even if you're a doctor.
Too many things have happened in our lives for me not to. Remember how you woke me crying to tell me that my father was in danger?
Yes.
And we found out afterward it was exactly the moment he'd had his heart attack.
I don't always see bad things.
Of course not. You also told me the moment our child started to grow inside you. Long before any doctor could have known. Darling, I believe in your intuitions. What about the voice you thought you heard when we first came here?
Oh, there hasn't been a hint of that for a month. I don't know what it was. What's that you have in your hand?
Oh, it's funny. I was poking around on the second floor, in that sort of special little wing.
The one you were thinking about for the laboratory and all the new microscopic equipment for research.
Yeah. Well, that's where I found this box, just lying in the middle of the floor.
What is it?
It's a music box. An old one that doesn't work.
Are you sure?
Well, it's probably just rusted. Needs some oil.
Could you fix it?
Maybe. I'm not sure I want to.
I want you to.
That's a strange tone from you.
Oh, I didn't mean... Please, Hank, I'd like you to try to make it work.
If you'll tell me why it's so important.
The voice I thought I heard when we first came here? When it spoke to me far away in the background, a music box was playing.
I see.
Is that why you hesitate?
Partly. Something tells me I should take this lovely old walnut box and bury it in the ground or the deepest lake I can find.
Why?
Well, the room where I found it had only one window, dark and shaded by the vines which clamber all over the house. The wind must have been closed off for years. The dust was an inch thick. It was eerie that everywhere I went, I left my footprints outlined clearly behind me.
Wait till Mrs. Bunter and I get in there with some mops and a broom. We'll chase the dirt out and wipe out your footprints.
Well, I'm sure you will. There's only one thing you can't wipe out.
What's that?
The spot where the box was lying, covered with cobwebs.
Well, why can't we clean that up, too?
Because when I picked it up, there was no depression for all its weight. No mark to show it had lain there for any time at all. Except for the fact that it lay in the center of the room. With no footprints in the dust coming or going, it could have been placed there yesterday or this morning before I entered the room. Do you still want me to see if I can make it play its song again? Who else?
Oh, it could have been Mrs. Bunter. Look at that full red moon. Isn't it gorgeous?
Yes. I have a little present for you.
Oh, what?
Your music box. It plays now.
Let me hear.
Very well. Do you remember something?
What?
Today is your birthday. That's why I worked so hard to have this ready for you. I know it isn't much of a present, but this year, with all the other expenses and... What is it?
That melody.
You know it?
That's the song that was playing behind the ghost voice that...
What is it, darling?
Look.
Where?
At the summer house. Don't you see her?
There's nobody there.
Yes, there is. See how she floats and spins with her crinoline swirling around her. She's calling to me. I can hear her. I've got to go to her. Come with me, Hank. Come with me.
Don't worry, Susanna. I won't let you out of my sight. You see? There's no one here.
But there was. There still is. Only... What happened to the music box?
It ran down.
Wind it up.
No. I should never have fixed it so that it would play.
It doesn't matter. She would have reached me anyway. Wait.
Find me. Come to me, Susanna. It's Rachel.
How?
The music box. The music box.
Was she just talking to you? The ghost?
Yes. It was Rachel.
But she's been... How could she talk to you? She was a muse.
I don't know. I don't think she wants to hurt me. She wants me to help.
Help her to do what? How?
I don't know. I'm not even sure it's a ghost that's trying to reach me. That's what scares me more than anything.
Susie, you can't be serious. What are you trying to say?
There's something terribly wrong about it all, darling. And somehow Mrs. Bunter is mixed up in it. I know she is.
In what way?
You know I like to keep charge of household accounts and things. The supplies, the towels and linens, everything that goes with the house. Too many things are missing. In too obvious a pattern. Hank, there's someone living in this house we don't know about.
And you think...
What can I think?
You mean that Rachel never died? That somehow she's still alive?
I think she's not in her grave. And that she is calling me for help to get her out of some captivity that has chained her for 15 years. Somehow, I've got to find a way to help her.
Now, there's an interesting corner to turn in a story. To find that a ghost, a well-established ghost, may not be one after all. Something we all must find out when I return with Act Three.
People who need
people.
Some people feel that we're becoming a nation of mannequins. Nothing but heartless clothes racks, no longer caring about or for each other's needs. They say we become blind to the suffering of the sick and the old, deaf to the pleas of the disadvantaged. If it's true, pity us, because it's not those of us who need help who are the handicapped. It's those of us who won't give it. I'm Nancy Wilson, asking you to have a heart and write Volunteer, Washington, D.C., 20013. It'll make you a better human being.
People who need people.
A public service of the Advertising Council and this station.
And Erie House Radio. Story is creep. Story's getting creepier and creepier as we go.
But wait, there's Act 3.
But wait, there's more.
What?
Out in the country, two people, personally by themselves, three housekeeper.
People who need people.
People who eat people. Cannibals.
The hungriest people.
Hungriest people. Cannibals.
Seek oil and greenest people.
Oh my goodness. Maybe it's time we did another song.
Hey, I've got one. I'm just finishing up to send out the parts for Erie House War.
Oh, good help. Good God. That's what we wanted to keep our listeners.
Hey, we're gonna have a whole album before we're done here.
Oh my goodness.
New from K-Tel. It's
yeah.
Music to scream by.
Yes.
Get the goat. Where's the goat?
Yeah. That was a perfect cue for the goat.
I know. Music to scream by.
That's right. Music to scream by. Yeah.
There he is.
There you go.
There we are.
Had to take him in from the pasture.
Let's have a Huntley scream. Or the Willem scream.
Well,
it's a very comforting scream for me.
The goat or Wilhelm?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
I like the fact you put them together. It sounds great.
Yeah!
The heck was that?
So that was, what was that other scream? That was the one CW pointed out. What was the name of that one?
Yeah. It sounded like the TIE Fighter, TIE Fighter, but the other, I don't know, not the TIE Fighter.
The Barry, Barry Berghoff. Yeah. Barry Berghoff screams from Yancey, Kentucky. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah, that's this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah! That's a baby birth and scream. That's what that
is.
Someone gave birth. Yeah, that's what that is. I'd know that scream anywhere.
Great convention. Scream con.
That was before the epidermal.
Oh, jeez. Dermal.
They keep screaming like that, they're going to get a shot.
Oh, dear Dave. What are we going to do with this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll release him to his own show. How's that?
Yeah, I got to get out of here. Oh, no, I got a half hour.
Yep, right after.
I was wearing my wristwatch there, Dave.
Just a matter of latex, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, let's wrap up the special undertaking from CBS Radio.
Looks like we'll have some playtime left, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We'll have some playtime left.
The full moon passes for a moment behind clouds, allowing Hank a worried frown, which he can conceal from his wife. His mind is a spinning mixture of thoughts he is fighting to keep from coagulating. They must be kept separate to evaluate them. Is Susanna simply suffering from the vagaries of a lady in her, as would have been said in those times, interesting condition? Or is there really an extra presence hidden in Huntington House?
If Rachel, if that's who it is, won't reveal herself to us openly, how can we find a way to help her?
You don't think I'm crazy, do you, Hank? There is some mystery that's got to be cleared away before we can ever live in this house.
But you really believe it's possible that someone or something is hiding here?
Someone. From the amount it uses up in food and linen and towels. But at the same time, something that isn't natural. That's supernatural.
Huh? What is it?
Oh, it's just the moon coming out from behind the clouds again. As bright as some enormous chandelier hung in the sky. If only I... Wait. She said the music box. Start it again, dear. Quick, before the moon goes behind the clouds.
You sure you want to?
Yes, yes, quickly.
Okay. Well?
Look. There she is. Dancing.
Where?
Up, all up the path, towards the front door. And she's beckoning for us to come. She... Oh.
What is it?
Oh, the moon behind the clouds again. I can't see. Come on, let's go. There's no one here.
The front door's opening.
What happened to the music box?
It stopped. I don't know why.
Oh, there you are, Dr. Fleming.
What is it, Ellen? What's wrong?
I think he's dying. Please, could you come to him and try to save his life? Even if he isn't worth it.
Save whose life?
My son. I'll show you where he is. He's hiding out in the barn.
Hold the lantern higher, Mrs. Bunter. That's it. Hurt there?
Some.
How about here?
Oh, that hurts pretty good.
He's burning up with fever. We've got to get him up to the house, see if we can't bring it down.
Oh, no, sir. You bring me up to the house and you're just signing my death warrant.
What's he talking about?
There's a wanted poster out for him. Murder and highway robbery. He killed a United States Marshal making his getaway up Cheyenne Way.
If I can't get him where I can treat him properly, it won't be the government signs your son's death warrant.
This is your son, Ellen?
More's the shame. Yes.
But I thought he was dead in the Civil War.
I'd take more pride in him if he had been. But he deserted the army to take up with a bunch of cutthroats and outlaws robbing and stealing and killing. Then he got wounded and came crawling home to me to beg me to save his life. What could I do? He was my only child. I didn't know how to turn my back on him.
I should never put you on the spot, Ma. I don't deserve nothing better than I got. A bullet in the gut. I should have let it take me its own good time.
Just what it's doing.
Oh, no. I was wide open and bleeding like a stuck pig when I crawled in here over a month ago. Ma nursed me back to health and the wound closed up. And then this damn fever got to me.
The fever's because you still have that bullet locked up inside you. It's festering. You have peritonitis. And the poison will kill you unless I get that bullet out.
You a real doctor?
I have a sheepskin, says I am.
And that means by law, you're going to have to let them know I'm still alive, and I'm going to have to hang just the same.
We can talk about that later.
Oh, no, sir. Johnny Law, don't get me. Now, everybody stay right where they are, nice and easy, while I get out of here.
Elisha!
Ain't no use trying to reach for me. You lost me a long time ago, just like I lost myself. The only thing outside of you I'm really sorry for is I never should have hurt Rachel. The funny thing is, I really loved her. If only we'd ever had a chance. Oh, Mom, I wish I could have done better by you and Rachel.
Lisha!
Hush, Mrs. Bunter. Let my husband handle it.
I'm sorry. It was too late. This time he's really dead. There's nothing much I can do, Mrs. Bunter. I'll have to ride in and tell the authorities.
There was no real excuse for all the things he'd done the past few years. If he'd ever had the chance, he might have amounted to something. You should have seen him with Rachel.
Oh, don't torture yourself with memories.
All I can with the good ones. In spite of the misfortunes birth brought her, she was so bright and full of the joy of life. You should have seen her dance.
Dance? She was blind, wasn't she?
Oh, that seemed to make no difference.
She could hear, sharp as a bat.
I always said what a pity it was they never got her a pianoforte for her to learn to play by herself.
But they never did. Just music boxes?
Oh, yes.
Like this?
Oh, yes. That looks like one of them. That box does seem familiar.
Ellen, are you sure Rachel Huntingdon is dead?
Well, I'm sure she is. I know it. To keep her from running after my Elijah.
They poisoned her.
What? Did you actually see her dead?
They'd sent me away. And then she died so sudden. And I came to the funeral and I stood in the back so I wouldn't be seen. And I saw the coffin lowered into the ground and the dirt covered it. And the minister commending her to heaven. Is that what you mean, Miss Susan?
I don't know what I mean. And this isn't any time to talk about it. First of all, let's go get the minister and see your son decently buried.
You sure you don't want to come with me?
No, darling. I really think I ought to stay with poor Ellen.
You're not afraid of anything?
Why should I be?
Well, you were the one who sensed another presence in the house.
But that's all over. Now we know it was Ellen's son.
Only that's not what you were hearing. You were hearing a woman's voice calling to you.
To help the man she loved, who just died, and who must be with her now. There's nothing to be afraid of anymore.
I don't know. I'm not sure I should leave you alone.
No, don't be silly. You'll be back in an hour or so. And even if poor little Rachel wanted to haunt me, she couldn't mean me any harm.
Well, it's a dark night. And even if she wanted to, she only seems to come when the moon is bright. Promise me you'll go straight to bed, lock the door, and wait for me.
I will. Hurry, darling.
Like the wind. You go straight upstairs. Bye, Susanna.
Bye, Hank. Aren't you going up to bed, Ellen?
Yes, I suppose so. I don't know what for. I won't sleep.
You must. Come on. We'll have a hot toddy in the kitchen and then go up together.
The Huntingtons should have left her alone. She'd been better off with him the way things happened. Lord knows, he'd have been better off with her.
They loved her and wanted to protect her.
Would have been the same if she'd been normal. They waited too long to have a child. When at last she came to them, they smothered her. The only freedom she ever had was her dancing and her music boxes.
Like this one.
Where'd you find that?
I didn't. Hank did. In the little room on the top floor of the wing?
Rachel's old room. But that part of the house has been shut up ever since I came back. That was part of what it said in the will. Why did you turn that on?
I didn't. It just started by itself.
I know that tune.
I thought you said you couldn't tell one tune from another.
I can that one. It was her favorite. Turn it off. That's better. I don't want to be reminded of my poor little Rachel tonight.
What is it, Miss Susan?
Shh. She's calling me again.
Come, Susan. Come. Now you must. I want to lie with my lover at last. Please, please, bring me peace. Bring me peace. Bring me peace. Bring me peace.
Where are you going? Where the music box is leading me. This time I cannot fail her.
Go in there. That's Miss Rachel's old room.
This is where she bids me come. Hold your candle higher. It's empty now. Nothing left but dust.
But it's less than half the room. There's a wall built there.
Where?
In front of us. There are two great windows beyond that. They look down on the garden, but this wall, I don't know where it came from. Or when it was built.
Or why? There's no door in it. It's papered all the way across.
That candle blew out.
Oh, my lantern's still lit. And look. There, where the wind tore the paper off the wall, there's a door.
Don't go in there, Miss Susan.
I have to. This is what she's been calling me to do.
Oh, my God. What is it?
Look. On the bed.
It's Miss Rachel's room, just as it was. And that's her, just as she was. Oh, the good Lord protect us. How could she still be alive after 15 years?
I knew you'd come. I knew. Take me to the grave so I can sleep.
Oh, my darling, I can't believe it. When Mr. Hughes and I came home in that wind and couldn't find you, I thought I'd lose my mind. I imagined all kinds of things, but nothing like this. Is she alive?
No, she's dead. And she has been all these years.
But it's not possible. 15 years. You can't preserve a corpse. How?
Excuse me, Dr. Fleming.
What, Mr. Hughes?
Believe me, I had no idea. I knew how Carson and Sarah worshipped the child, but I never dreamed of a love as sick as this. This was their way of keeping her for the rest of their lives, preserved, so that they could never lose her.
But how?
I'm a banker. I can't tell you. But a room hermetically sealed and all Carson's skills. I told you he was a taxidermist. But I never did get a chance to tell you. He ended up his life here in this city as our undertaker.
A grisly ending to a weird story. And yet, a happy one. Rachel Huntington was finally laid to her rest alongside the man who might have been her husband. Huntington House was cleared of all shadows and became the nucleus of one of the country's finest hospitals, renowned for the miracles it achieves in saving life rather than preserving the illusion of it. I'll be back shortly.
Morning, Greenhaven State Prison. Today, Jerry Rice is getting out. He paid for his mistake. We paid, too, about 10,000 tax dollars a year to keep him there. And unless he gets a job, he'll probably go back in.
Wait till your daddy sees you. He's not going to recognize you. You excited?
If you're someone with a job to give, you can do something about rising crime by giving a guy like Jerry Rice a job. He's been thoroughly screened, so you'll know all about him. You complain about rising crime and the billions of tax dollars used to fight it. Nothing can fight it better than jobs.
Welcome home, Daddy. Are you here forever?
Forever, honey.
The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Such an alluring, gentle, lovely sound. The tinkle of a music box. And yet, hearing one, I tend to shudder. Picturing that long dead girl, her eyes open in an unwinking stare, and the voice that never could speak in life, crying out in desperation for peace, never to be heard till at last came Susanna with her gift of perception. Our cast included Don Scardino, Jada Roland, Stats Cotsworth, Ann Petoniak, and Robert Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You haven't told me why you think you were in the garage tampering with the brakes. Why would you want to kill yourself, Olivia?
I didn't want to kill myself.
Then why did you deliberately ruin the brakes? That should have been a sure way to end your life. I know that hill leading down from the house.
Doctor, it was only by chance, a fluke, that I was driving the car. If I fixed those brakes because I wanted to kill someone, then that someone is John. I hardly ever drive the car.
John, I can't believe that you would want to kill John.
Why would I go to all that trouble to kill myself? Surely I could think of easier ways to die.
Olivia, do you really want to kill John?
Yes.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Very scary, creepy stuff, and I think I had to go get ready for Horrible Horror starting in about 21 minutes and 40 seconds. Where's my team?
Right here. We lost Dave.
We're Daveless.
No, I'm sorry. I had my mute button on, oh yeah. Okay.
Gee, that never happens to me. More than twice a day.
In life, if I had a real mute button, I would really be in trouble.
Now, did Gar
or
take
maybe
his
less trouble.
Did Gar take his moral with him?
He must have.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? He said he hadn't listened to this one.
All right. So the moral is, pay attention, Dale, and you can create your own damn moral, you lazy bastard. All right.
I can come up with one here. Let me say another story. Oh, do you have one? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, in that case. Eerie House Radio proudly presents CW's Moral of the Story.
Just a little bit on that funeral for that loved one. You can get them stuff just like the stuffed peppers. Ooh. Oh, shit.
No! There we go. See, the Eagle
guy
liked
it. Is that the vegan way? Is that the vegan way?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there you go. Should have added, that's the Soylent Green way.
Oh, the Soylent Green way.
That's my household tip for today.
Home economics right here on Erie House. That was a good tale, Dave.
It's a very good tale.
And we got a whole bunch of time left, so.
Oh, well, geez.
We got the time for bonus material. Yeah.
Yeah, jukebox and wheels, huh?
Grab something from the Wheel of Wonder.
Why not? Who would like to take the honors at the wheel?
Well, you know, CW does such a good job doing it. Why don't you go on up to the wheel, CW?
Oh, delighted. And one, two, three, and spin.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Charlie, look, why are you in such a hurry?
Well, now.
Why are you in such a hurry? Where are you going?
Well, I'd like to get an early start.
Oh, stick around. You haven't met Mr. Karloff yet.
That's what I say. Let's get out of here early.
Oh, but you must meet Mr. Karloff and hear some of his hair-raising stories.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I'd rather not. Bergen, he might be interested in hair-raising. Well, it's getting a little thin out there. That will do. He's sensitive about that, too. Yeah.
Yes. No. In any case, Charlie, you can't go without saying hello to Mr. Karloff.
No,
he expressed a desire to meet you.
Oh, yeah? Well, keep the doors open. Wide open.
Charlie, you're not really afraid of Mr. Karloff, are you?
No. But you've got to admit he's no Santa Claus.
No. Charlie, did I hear you say you were going home? How do you do, Mr. Karloff?
How do you do, Mr. Bergen?
Charlie, won't you say hello to Mr. Karloff?
Hello. Well, good night.
No, no. Don't run away. I want to talk to you.
Well, I really should go home. I got a lot of homework to do.
Homework? Well, perhaps I can help you. Where do you live?
Well, I live... No. I moved there. He didn't get me that time.
Oh,
I'm too fast for him.
Yes. Charlie, you've got the wrong conception of my character. Actually, I wouldn't hurt a fly.
Oh, but I'm not a fly. I wouldn't trust you further than...
Any further than what?
Well, they don't make distance that short.
Charlie, I came here expressly to invite you up to my home.
Oh, you did,
Well, I think that's very nice of you, Mr. Karloff, to extend that invitation to Charlie.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy it, Bergen.
You have a place in the city, or is it in the country?
Oh, it's way up in the hills. The only house for miles around.
Miles around.
Well, that sounds like a beautiful spot.
Yeah, for a murder.
Why, that's ridiculous, Charlie. You know I'll make you comfortable. I'll stop at nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Stick around, Bergen. Don't hold me. All right.
I've really got a lovely place, Charlie, especially at night when the sky is dark and the wind whistles through the trees.
Yeah, the ghosts play pinochle.
Have you a large house, Mr. Carter?
No, it's quite comfortable, though. 8 rooms, a den.
A den, a den, yes.
And one thing I especially like is that I've got loads of closet space.
Oh, yes.
That's where he hides them all day. Don't hold me,
all right. Well, now, don't you want to come up, Charlie?
You're not going to find me hanging around your closet.
Charlie, you're being silly.
Yeah.
Well, it may be silly, but it's safe.
I understand, Mr. Karloff, that your greatest hobby is raising birds.
Yes, right? That's true. I have birds. I like them. They make very interesting friends.
What kind do you have? Do you got vultures? No.
Oh, now, Charlie, vultures. When I talk of birds, I mean canaries and parrots. Do come up and see my birds.
Spider and the fly. I'll outsmart him, that's all. I'm just too smart.
Oh, Charlie, you've taken my screen character much too seriously. Remember, on the screen, I was only acting.
Yeah, I know, but I still remember Frankenstein. Wow, what a chiller. Ooh.
You saw the picture?
I saw it, yes. I had to have my spine defrosted.
I've often wondered how it turned out.
Didn't you see it?
Well, no. I went into the picture, and after the first reel, I rushed out of the theater. I was too frightened.
Do you mean to say you couldn't stay for the finish?
That's right. But, Charlie, now, don't say anything to anybody. Let's keep this confidential.
Yes.
I'm somewhat ashamed of myself for being so easily frightened.
Is that so?
Why, do you know that while the picture was being made... Now, Charlie, don't say a word about this to anybody, will you?
No, you know me. I don't talk.
There were two assistant directors standing by me all the time saying, now, remember, Karloff, it's only a picture. It isn't true. It's only a picture. I'm so nervous about these things.
Is that the way you really are?
Yes, Charlie, that's the way I really am.
Wait till I tell the gang about this. Why, you know, Mr. Karloff, if you think that's terrible, I had an awful experience one night. I was walking along a lonely road, and a storm broke out. You know, lightning and thunder.
Oh, and aren't you afraid of thunder and lightning? I am.
Oh, well, I'm not. So I was just looking for a shelter, you know, and I came to an old rickety broken-down house, you know, cobwebs all over the door.
You didn't go in.
Oh, sure I did. It was a haunted house.
Oh, but that's very dangerous.
Oh, well, it gets worse, too. I tried to light a match, and the wind blew it out, you know.
And you were in the dark alone?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Oh, it's worse than that. Yes. And then I heard funny noises, see, like steps on a stair. But when I looked, there weren't any stairs, see. And then I heard a moaning, and I heard a groaning. And it went...
Oh, but that's awful.
Oh, it gets worse than that. And then suddenly, I saw a hand come out of the wall.
No, no, Charlie, please, that's enough, please. I can't stand it. I don't know. No, please, Charlie, don't. I can't stand it.
Well, would you like something to steady your nerves?
Well, yes, please. If I could have a glass of milk and some ladyfingers.
Ladyfingers? Well, as I was saying, I was in this house, you know, and I passed some skeletons. See?
Skeletons?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes, yes. So I snuck up closer, see, on my tiptoes.
No, no,
see?
No, please,
came closer,
please.
And I came closer, see, and suddenly a voice yelled, "Boo!" And the funniest thing, it was only the caretaker in the house, see. Mr. Karloff, Mr. Karloff. Oh, Bergen.
What's the matter?
Look, what? Frankenstein has fainted.
Ah, the great Boris Karloff with Charlie McCarthy. And
a little bit of fun there, Bird. Yes. With, yes. It was a gentle soul.
Where Karloff was a true gentleman.
I wonder if he truly did. I'll have to read up and see if he really did keep pet birds. It wouldn't surprise me. He was a very gentle person.
He was.
I love Boris.
What's his name? Edward G. Robinson, who was, I think, very much into horticulture.
Mm, interesting.
Yep.
Versus Charlton Heston, you know, take it out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah. That's a nice hobby, too. Let's go a-shootin'. Maybe we got time for a song or two. What do you think?
Hey, we got time for a twin spin, I bet you.
Yeah.
I got paid, so I got a couple wooden nickels here for you, Dale.
All righty, let's pop it in the slot there, and we'll fire up the old jukebox.
All right, and is this the right slot?
said that, I would need one more, too. Why did I go there?
Just a bungalow for two, so right for each other.
We won't need a view, we'll see one another.
No glamour around us,
but aren't you glad we found us? Gee,
gee,
lucky us. So we haven't got a maid, they're so interfering.
When we pull the shade, who's seeing, who's hearing?
Two candles are glowing,
our happiness is showing. Gee,
gee,
lucky us. If we had a million, we might want a billion and be uneasy on our throne.
But with love beside us, we're richer than Midas.
Meet the royal family, Jones. I'll come home from work at night,
we'll kiss in the doorway,
check eyes so shiny bright,
to welcome me your way. So happy,
so humble,
too much in love to grumble.
Gee,
lucky us. All right, but you know, I've been thinking, there'll be dishes in the sink.
We'll do them together.
But won't I need a mink?
We'll have sunny weather.
No bankers to sup with.
No friends we must keep up with. Gee, lucky us.
But we won't eat crepe Suzette.
They make you so weighty. Say, we'll eat what Grandma ate.
Ed?
Yeah, she lived way past 80.
No pheasants and brandy.
No pills we must keep handy.
Gee, lucky us.
That shows a lot of character.
The rich pearly oysters who cluster in cloisters can never see beyond their rocks.
And you can't kiss a bank book.
And gold has a blank look.
Who could live and love in Fort Knox? But Jolson, there'll be socks and things to mend.
I'll keep you in stitches.
Time is all we'll spend.
With us, time is riches.
So happy with all things.
Because we have the small things. Lucky me.
Lucky me.
Gee.
Lucky us.
Say, Dottie, I got a nickel. Shall I put it in the jukebox?
Sure. What song?
Well, let's see. We got number one is Ballerina. Number two is How Soon. Number three is Near You. Number six is...
Oh, I know what number six is.
Yeah.
And please don't play number six tonight, for number six was meant for two. Play the other new releases, or else I'll go to pieces. That's all I ask of you. They were playing that same record when first I met his friend. They played it while we fell in love all through our whole romance. Oh, they used to play that record, and he would hold my hand. But now he's gone and left me, and I'll never understand. Won't you do a friend a favor? Don't start that yell again. And please play something lively. Now play number 8 or 10. But please don't play number 6 tonight. That's all I'll ever ask of you. I confess that I can't take it. Won't someone kindly break it like it broke my heart in two?
That was Dorothy Shay, and of course, before that, we had Bob Hope and Margaret Whiting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Weren't those the two that did in the Big Brass Cat 1938, Thanks for the Memories, that made Bob Hope really kind of so famous?
Yeah,
yeah, that was a trademark song.
Yeah, it definitely was his signature, wasn't it?
That was what, he was singing it to her, wasn't he, Margaret Whiting?
I need to Google. Someone Google.
Tied up and not in a good way.
Boy, good stories, good songs, good Karloff. What more can one ask for in one stupendous night?
It has been stupendous. And in just, about 3 minutes and 20 seconds, it'll be time for
Horrible Horror Saying Guys at Ghoul over on the Twitcher
thing.
Yeah. And so he'll be twitchering.
Daryl, what's happening next week on Erie House Radio?
I don't know. I won't be able to see a thing. We're going to be hiding in the dark with some Inner Sanctum and Dark Fantasy. The Shadow, Radio Stage. Yay, Radio Stage coming back. And we've got some guests, huh, Dave?
Yeah, we do. There's a movie premiering here in Akron. It was all not only shot with all Ohio and Northeast Ohio people, it was all shot basically in this area. And with the same budget, Dale, that you and I work with, what's in their pockets, and that's it. Yet it looks like a first-class movie. And one of my old high school friends, who I actually did a play or two with way back in high school, he got to be in about half the movie. He's the grandpa in that. Having a big premiere on Wednesday the 3rd. We're having him in and perhaps a few other people from the movie in on that same night as well on Saturday night. Go ahead.
And if you're curious about that movie, we put up a shot of a preview on the Erie House page.
The trailer, yeah. And the radio stage is one that, you know, I have known Scott and his wife Maureen for years. Maureen, you've heard her, already heard her in several of the radio stage productions. Well, she's also in this, but then so is Scott. Scott's in this as well. I just kind of killed him off, but he gets his revenge. So it's it's one of my brick wall mysteries. I had this guy who wrote noir stories with a character named Brick Wall, Brickman Wall. And he always was caught talking to this character as he got stuck in some of these different mysteries as they happen. This happens to be one of those stories that happens at a writer's convention in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah. Well, and ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga to Fogs Bane and good old Bob. Thanks for joining us live here in the chat, as well as the billions, billions and billions and billions of others that we can't see. And a couple who are missing us because they're having some computer issues right now. But they'll be back with us. To be sure, don't forget you can go into the archive and listen to many, many shows. In fact, 578 of them before this one. So
it's hard to believe.
That's a whole ton of old-time radio there, kids.
Who knew? Who knew?
We'll see us Friday at 6:30 Eastern right here on them internets. Or else head on over to listen to Gar.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me
and her.
Him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
What I did there? That was pretty close on the timing. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
About a second off.
You know, if I,
not too bad.
Yeah, your clock and my clock's pretty far off today. I was almost 20 seconds off from your clock, so.
Oh, gee. Yeah, no, I was pretty right on, close to when it cut off, so.
Good. Good. So kids, be sure to check your Facebook later tonight, as I have now completed the lyrics and all the other conversation, and I will be sending the lyrics off to you guys for our own version of for our own little Dream a Little Dream of Me version called Scream a Little Dream of Me. So
all righty.
It looks awful fun on paper, kids.
They always do on paper.
Nah, it will be fun. I'll send that in the music along with it, so you can kind of get the timing.
Yeah,
more than the singing thing, it's a timing. Yeah, it's more of a timing thing than a singing thing.
This whole evil thing started, what we were talking about, hee-haw or something, and I was thinking of that, where are you doing that thing, and how funny it would be to have monsters singing that.
Yeah.
So you are the
instigator. It's all your fault. Yeah.
I am to blame.
It's all his fault.
I hate myself. This morning while shaving,
hey,
when I got to my neck, I hovered for a while.
Yeah, then you remembered it's an electric razor.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, we'll have to send these off to Dr. Demento.
Oh,
you know?
Standing
you
in the
that,
bathtub.
Right?
Then you remembered it was on battery.
Yeah.
Quit trying to keep me alive. What's wrong with you? Oh, dear. I have so much fun. I look forward so much to each weekend for this. With you guys and sharing these old-time radio shows and listening to a lot of them for many of them for the first time for me. This is awesome.
Yeah, there's so much fun in these, so much story.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I should try to get a degree instead of computers and communication.
In what? What kind of
Right now I'm aiming for a computer degree, but perhaps I should aim for communications.
Well, you want to communicate with computers now?
I think if you can master the computers, and I'm just saying this because I'm a technological moron, mostly my own fault because I don't want to tackle new things for whatever reason, but if you have that mastered, you can attack other other things. Once you have the computer mastered, you can get into so many things.
I've always said I could teach anybody radio, but I can't teach you computers. So if I have somebody who's good with people and can work with computers, I can teach them the radio end of it. So
I don't know. You have to wrestle with Blog Talk Radio.
Just
wrestle with that and beat it down with a stick and a couple of times and take your shoe off and hit it a couple of times.
it sounds like you already know all the techniques of radio.
Oh, yes. You know, just smack around a couple of times, bang it.
The older I am, it seems I need to be like a little obsessed to take on new things. Like when I was making shows every month, I couldn't wait to learn how to green screen myself. When it became more difficult to get studio time at the cable station, and I became more and more self-produced as I went along, that's when I got excited to tackling the green screen. And then I remember when I found all those dinosaurs, Dave. You're like, dude, where did you... Tell me what's up.
I'm not even sure the show was already over, and I was calling Dale's house. How did you do that?
Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw it, CW, but I hosted The Lost World. We had a trip to our local natural history museum in there, as well as skits with some dinosaurs chasing me and another guy around. in my backyard.
Yes, that one I remember.
That was so much fun to make. And then I showed Dave just a source, and he just ran with it. I just showed him a source. Look where I got this stuff. And he's like, okay. And then you started, you were in hell. You were, you had a spaceships and so, all
yeah,
kinds
yeah,
of stuff.
Spaceship.
I'm like, what the hell?
Dinosaur crawling behind
a
spaceship and a pterodactyl flying overhead. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I will stay with computers. I could just charge $40 an hour to tell someone, just unplug it, turn it off, unplug it, then reboot, and it'll start.
Yeah, reboot.
Yeah.
Reboot. You locked everything up because you had 50,000 things open, you nitwit you. That's, at least that's what they tell me. That's what they tell me. But, yeah, and editing has been and fun. I love working with that kind of software, you know. But as far as, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, computers are just like automobiles. I mean, people who know how to design them, drivers, they have great people who know how to maintain them. But it's that rare breed that can do all of the above. They can drive them well. They can maintain them well. They can design them well. That's why you have so many facets with computers. Programmers.
Yeah.
You have
people
who can build.
Some of the horror hosts are really good with stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Maybe they outsource some of their production, but like Tar and Feathers productions are really well done. Whether or not they're using effects, they're well written, they're well edited, they're well scripted, and and they have a lot of high tech effects in their show. And I've seen other hosts do amazing stuff. But some of them outsource the, you know what I mean? And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're like Dave with the Spaceship One, that is like awesome.
Yeah. It's
you get to do a whole series in space.
Yes. Yeah. And technically we're just all doing green screen and he does all the animation around us. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I could never afford to pay for what he does. So
that's
great that
the one, the technology, I mean, the biggest investment will be a green screen, and you can even do a now good production, a short video on your smart device. You don't need a Technicolor Panavision camera anymore.
No, you can. There, most of your cameras, your newer cameras today, or phones today, have pretty much an HD video with it. So.
Yep.
Okay, so Universal is doing a movie called Renfield, and yes, Nicolas Cage will be Dracula.
What, Renfield is going to be the primary character?
I don't know. The title of the film is supposed to be Renfield, I guess, and Nick Cage has been tapped to play Dracula.
Yeah, you mentioned that last. I'm going to have to really investigate that more thoroughly.
I think that's amazing.
How he's going to work that. He can be, he can be very insidious. He did a wonderful movie with John Travolta in Face Off. That was a good movie.
Yeah. Usually you see Nick Cage being a little kind of like crazy, but being actually sinister, I think he can do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I am intrigued. That movie, I'm looking forward to, other things coming out, COVID permitting. Otherwise, I'm going to have to stream them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this Omicron will pass by us soon.
Let it be next time.
Yeah.
Omicron 2.0.
Your mic is breaking up.
Oh, sorry. Is that any better? All right.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm saying we might get Omicron 2.0.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, well, probably, but hopefully not.
Someday we'll look back and say...
Yes, it was all about dream.
Yeah, I wish.
No kidding. But with that said, I don't know if I can make Twitch. I'd like to try and chime in, but in the meantime, I think we need to go to Mr. Durante's door and stage belongs to him now.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always, obediently yours.